His tray hit the floor with a clatter. The other patrons around the seafood area were suddenly quiet. The giant's mouth turned into a snarl, and his hands curled into a fist.
Son of a bitch!
The final illegal underground money fight I'd ever participated in had been against this monster. All I'd known going in was that he was a killer, a prison-hardened, brutal machine of a fighter, and then he'd beaten the living hell out of me until I'd finally taken him down, lost control, and nearly beaten him to death. I'd never even known his name. I took a step back. He was right to be mad. I'd lost it. It was the worst thing I'd ever done.
It was an accident.
Veins were popping out in his neck.
I was out and you didn't stop hitting me until they dragged you off. You put out my eye.
Sorry. Man, that sounded pathetic.
You ruined my life!
And with a roar, the giant charged. I lifted the metal serving tray like a shield, just in time for his fist to bend it in half. The tray went flying, and a waitress screamed. Dodging back, I thumped hard into the table with the ice swan. An instinctive duck kept my head attached to my body as the giant threw a massive left hook that decapitated the swan. Then he lowered his shoulder and rammed into me, taking us both onto the table. The ice swan toppled, hit the floor, and exploded, sending bits everywhere. The table collapsed beneath us, and we went rolling off in separate directions. There were a few seconds of shocked silence, and then fight or flight kicked in for everyone in the buffet. For the regular people, it was flight from the two very large men crashing about. Sadly, flight wasn't the normal first reaction for a hunter. There was a battle cry from near the exit.
That PT guy hit Z!
Green shouted as he shoved his way through the people. The man who had attacked me was wearing a black shirt. Green sprinted across the restaurant, yelling,
"Fight! Fight!"
Then he dove and tackled a random PT employee who was getting a piece of pie from the dessert bar.
"No, it's not them!"
I got up, but the giant was already coming my way again, and then I was too busy protecting my vital organs from his sledgehammer fists to communicate. The occupants of the MHI table had all stood up to see what was going on, and so had the paranormal tactical crew. The two sides looked at each other for just a moment, and then it was on. The last thing I saw was one of the Hate brothers clubbing a PT hunter in the jaw, because then I had to concentrate on my own problems. The giant was coming my way, hands up and loose, protecting his face. Even enraged, he was moving like a pro. The last time we'd squared off had been a close one. This was the toughest human being I'd ever fought. At least, now that I knew Franks didn't count as human.
"I don't want to fight you," I warned. "Should have thought of that before you tried to murder me."
He came in quick, but this wasn't a ring, and I wasn't fighting fair. I kicked a chunk of ice, and he instinctively flinched aside as it zipped past him. I yanked a cloth off a table and threw it over his head like a net. I'd like to say that I did it dramatically and all the plates and pitchers stayed in place, but they didn't, and most of them shattered on the ground. Temporarily entangled in the tablecloth, he couldn't defend himself very well, so I charged in swinging. I slugged him twice in the stomach, and when his hands went down, I reached up and tagged him with a shot to the mouth. But then he threw the tablecloth back over me, and I think it was an elbow that got me in the side of the head. I was seeing stars when he slung me around and put me into the meat area. Ham broke my fall. The meat-slicing buffet employees ran for their lives. Getting up, I hurled a pot roast at the giant, and he smacked it across the room. We clashed. There wasn't any finesse at all. It was just a slugfest. We went back and forth, trading blows. Too busy trying to protect my face, I got hit in the ribs, which sucked, and then he nailed me in the stomach, which really sucked, and suddenly I was regretting the several pounds of food I'd just consumed. His shoe landed on a piece of ice, and as he slid off balance, I snap-kicked him hard in the thigh of his grounded leg. He went to his hands and knees.
"Stay down!" I ordered.
The restaurant patrons were evacuating. Green had someone in a chokehold and another PT man on his back. I'd forgotten that Van Zandt had used to be a champion welterweight, and he was knocking the snot out of a PT man twice his size. The hate seemed to be having a jolly time, until one of them got hit with a chair. Gregorius was wrestling a PT hunter next to the soda machines. Ultimate Fighter had Cooper in an arm bar. Albert, despite the cane and leg brace, was a shockingly tenacious fighter, and he was facing two PT hunters at once, which apparently Tripp didn't think was very sporting, because he slammed one of them through a corner booth. Even Holly had gotten into it. A PT man hesitated, not wanting to strike a girl, until she groin-kicked him like she was punting a football. Turning back to the giant, I didn't see that my opponent's hands had landed on another serving tray, which he promptly swung and clipped me in the temple. That one rocked my world. I landed flat on my back. The giant came over to stomp me, but Nate body-checked him into the soft-serve ice cream machine. Too bad the Shacklefords were from Alabama, because the kid showed a lot of promise as a hockey player. The vanilla spigot had broken off, and soft serve came spooling out.
"Got no problem with you," the giant said through gritted teeth. "Just him. Get out of my way."
"You mess with MHI, you mess with all of us."
The giant cocked his misshapen head to one side.
"What? MHI?"
Nate tried to punch him, and though he was fast and relatively skilled, the giant was simply out of his league. He effortlessly slapped Nate's hands aside, grabbed my brother-in-law's tie to hold him in place, then slugged him. One, two, three solid hits before Nate's brain had even recorded the first impact. Nate went down, out cold. That really pissed me off, and I came off the floor ready to kick some ass. Hotel security guards were pushing their way inside. Since the restaurant rotated on a platform, the whole place was shaking badly under the stampede. The other ice sculpture fell and broke, and somehow somebody had managed to throw something hard enough to break one of the chandeliers. There was some screaming as Green got pepper sprayed, and more screaming as Lee shoved a rival hunter into the chocolate fountain. One of the PT men got in my way, and I dismantled him. I didn't have time to dick around with these chumps when there was a real enemy to fight. I stepped into the clumsy swing and drove my forearm and all my mass into him so hard that he went spiraling over a table. Another of the black polo-shirted hunters had gotten between us, so the giant simply picked him up and tossed him over the sushi bar, not even bothering to slow his pace. We met in the middle and proceeded to beat the crap out of each other. He was fast for a big man, and so was I, but he had a reach advantage, so I had to keep moving to stay ahead of him. I wasn't used to being the smaller and lighter fighter. We locked up on each other as we hit the far end of the buffet, both of us throwing knees and elbows. Between the two of us, we probably weighed close to 700 pounds, and the furniture broke around us like someone had turned loose a herd of enraged wildebeests. I didn't realize we'd gone too far until my shoulder hit the cold glass of the restaurant's bubble. The glass cracked. I caught my boot against the railing, heaved the giant back, and managed to hit him with a staggering overhand right. That slowed him down.
LeCoco, stop! Z! Owen! What the heck? Quit hitting that newbie!
Milo was running our way, just ahead of a bunch of casino security and a Las Vegas police officer.
You're on the same team!
The giant must not have heard Milo's words, because he bellowed, launched himself into me, caught me around the waist, and we hit the interior window. The glass shattered around us, and then we were falling, briefly. We hit water, but it wasn't particularly deep, because right after the water came tile. And the tile was very hard. Groaning, I lay there, flat on my back in half a foot of water, covered in sparkling shards, the wind knocked out of me, staring up at the hole in the buffet's glass wall one story above, as cold water from a dragon-headed fountain spit on us. The giant was on his side next to me. He had a few nasty cuts on his face and arms from the glass. I probably didn't look much better. I realized then that his not quite in the same direction eye was fake, because it had popped out and was sitting at the bottom of the pool between us. A huge crowd of gamblers and shoppers were standing there, gaping at us. Many of them started taking pictures. At least the fall had finally knocked the fight out of him. The giant looked over at the MHI happy face on my tattered shirt with his good eye and groaned.
"Jason LeCoco?" I gasped.
"Uh-huh."
"Owen Zastava Pitt," I coughed. "Nice to meet you. Welcome to Monster Hunter International."
Then several police officers converged on the fountain to arrest us. Chapter 2.
"This sucks,"
Tripp said as he studied the cement floor of our cell. I had lost count of how many times he'd said that already. The two of us had been separated from the others not too long after getting our mugshots taken. I suppose it was good policy not to put too many members of the same rumble into the same cell afterwards. Sure, it was an ugly place that smelled like barf and was filled with losers, but it wasn't that bad. "Come on, dude. Way nicer than the last jail I was in." I slapped my bench. "See this? Not a single scorpion in sight. We're not in Mexico, and your mother-in-law probably isn't going to show up and murder all the guards either." True. All things considered, though, despite having just been in a fight, both of us were relatively unscathed. My abs hurt, and LeCoco had clipped me a few times, and I had a terrible headache from landing in the fountain, but overall I was doing fine. "Just trying to keep things in perspective is all. You're not helping." Tripp lowered his voice enough that the dregs of society we shared the holding area with wouldn't overhear. He looked around nervously.
"I've never been arrested before. I've never even gotten a speeding ticket. I've got a spotless record."
"Had," I corrected.
"Does it matter? All the goody-two-shoesness in the world didn't keep the feds from beating you like a piñata that one time anyway. And look on the bright side. Now you'll have way more street cred with the gnomes."
From what we could put together about the chaotic aftermath of the events at the last Dragon Buffet, Most of my dinner party had ended up in jail. A few had taken directly to the hospital, but Tripp said that he was pretty sure he saw Tanya escape through the kitchen. Elves were sneaky like that. Matters had been complicated when the responding officers discovered that almost all of us had been carrying at least a gun, and in some cases, two or more guns. The cop patting down Cooper had nearly had a coronary when he had found the first hand grenade. I couldn't speak for paranormal tactical, but on our side the concealed weapons were perfectly legal, with all the paperwork done and fees paid. If a hunter knew he was going to be somewhere, he was going to make sure he would be there armed, and the peculiar legalities of our career field allowed us quite a bit of leeway when it came to determining what exactly constituted armed. Despite the 36 handguns, 32 knives, 4 wooden stakes, 3 collapsible batons, 2 frags, a block of C4, Lee's sword cane, and the piano wire garrote collected by the Las Vegas PD, not a single weapon had been introduced into our brawl by either side, unless you counted the chair that somebody had whacked Sean Haight over the head with. The good stuff was in case of monsters, not people, though I felt sorry for any bozo who might decide to try to mug a monster hunter. A jailer stopped at our cell. Jones and Pitt, there was a buzzing noise, a loud click, and our cell door rattled open. You're free to go. That was quick. We'd only been here for a few hours and hadn't even been questioned yet, let alone brought in front of a judge. Really? The assorted hoodlums, drug dealers, drunk drivers, and Johns that were sharing our holding area looked at us with no small amount of jealousy. Already? It's your lucky day. This way.